Hello, Rebels. Before we kick off today's episode, let me ask you a question. What if we could help you unlock your marketing superpowers in one day or less? Actually, to be precise, I mean 3 hours. Yes, you heard it right. What I'm asking you is 3 hours of your time to join us for a brand new intensive experience, our marketing deep dive. One day masterclass that will help you create marketing strategies that capture hearts and mind. And every single masterclass is going to dive deep into one of our favorite topics of marketing. Maybe that email marketing, hiring, or even automations and beyond. If you want to get the fast track ticket to become irresistible, then I'll suggest you check out our upcoming marketing deep dive, where you're going to get 2 hours of hands-on training with lots of exercises and practical group work as well. Plus, 1 hour bonus office hours and Q&A. Oh, and we also have a personalized dashboard and bonus templates to help you apply what you learn in our 3 hours. And just to put a little bow on it, you also get a certificate of completion to show off wherever you fancy. If you'd like to find out what is coming up next and which one is our next marketing deep dive, all you have to do is go to amschool.click/masterclass. There you'll be able to find our schedule with our upcoming masterclass for you to join. On with today's show. Hi, marketing rebels. What if you could have a stunning website tailored to your unique brand, all created in mere seconds? Sounds like a dream, right? Well, with Osinger's AI website builder is actually a reality. I give it a whirl because you know me. And honestly, I was blown away. Just answer 3 simple questions and voila, your website, complete with copy and images, springs to life. And the best part? You can tweak it to perfection with a drag and drop editor. No coding, no fuss. Imagine unleashing your brand's potential with a website that's not only stunning, but also SEO friendly. Plus, with Osinger's AI tools, you can even predict visitor behavior, the closest thing to a crystal ball for your business. Ready to revolutionize your online presence? Head over to osinger.com/AMS to use the code AMS for 10% off your order and a free domain name. Your dream website is just a few clicks away. On with today's class. Marketing Rebels, it's Fab here, your marketing BFF and head teacher at marketing school. A modern school teaching you how to market to hearts. And together each week, we'll share the freshest news, tactics, insights, and all the good things that hopefully can make you a better marketer. Class is in session, and today I'm joined by the one and only Becca. And before I get Becca on, well, yes, I'm going to remind you, come and hang out in our student community as well, please. And thank you. If you've been listening for a while, if you're completely new, I always like to say, come and join the party. If you like this party, this listening party, we would love for you to join us for any of our actual live events and opportunities to brainstorm together, to learn together, to do strategy together. So just because this month we've been working on so many exciting events, and I'm going to sprinkle a bit of that to today, because we also talked a lot about SEO in the community with our new course. So if you want to find out more about that before we kick off today's class, go to amschool.click/library to find out more about all the good things we added, including our brand new SEO masterclass. Becca, hey.
Hello.
I'm back for another episode. It's like she never left. Let's be honest. It's like she never left. She's always been here by my side. And what I love about Becca is that right before we recorded or we hit recording, I said, Becca, we're going to try something new. And Becca didn't flinch. Becca didn't say, OMG, no. Especially she thought, OMG, no. But you did not flinch, so I'll take that. And what we're trying to do is kind of doing the same things, the same like nice like combos that we've been having, but adding a sprinkle of structure and a sprinkle of new just to try. And then, dear listener, especially loyal listener who's been with us for a long time, I see you. You can let us know what you think. And I'm actually going to start this week and hopefully in more weeks to come with a question from the audience, which as learning curve from myself and feedback from anybody else who thinks, I love the idea of asking questions and getting questions from my listeners. It's painfully hard to get people to ask questions and ask me what they want to know. So a reminder before I get into the question, it's good to get your audience to be proactive, and even us with 170 plus episodes behind our belt, still really hard. And I know there's so many of you listen every single week, but it's really hard to go from passive into active. So we're trying this, we're testing it. I have actually a few anonymous questions that we're going to bring on in the next couple of weeks. But go to our TikTok, go to our Instagram newsletter, wherever you get our info and all the good things. And we will keep prompting you to ask questions, challenges, problems, anything in the marketing world that you want to shed a light, please ask us. Becca, do you want to hear this week's anonymous, sadly, question?
I do. Hit me with the question. What is it?
I summarize that first just to give pathos into the whole experience. To me or not to me? That is a question. And it was from a social media manager from the gist of the question. The question was, with a sea of Ryan Goslings, which I appreciate the reference, in my feed this week, how do I know when I should use a meme for my strategy? This is the question itself. I, you know, summarize it as to meme or not to meme. But yeah, time of recording and listening. If you're listening when we're out, the Academy Awards pretty much just happened. So whether it was a naked John Cena, which we went for, by the way, you know, our own Instagram, Ryan Gosling, a combination of them all, red carpet highlights, Emily Blunt as well was in there, and everybody else in between. There have been a lot of memes. And I think it's a really poignant question, and that's why I wanted to start with this one for this new segment, which hopefully will last a very long time. So what would you say, to meme or not to meme? Especially from a B2B perspective, I think is super interesting. Do you have these conversations with clients, or do you just think about it? Or is it something that you would never do for that kind of social strategy?
Yeah, it depends. It does depend. And it's definitely something I think about. There are some clients that I work with who are, yeah, on the B2B side that would never, if I even dangled it in front of them as an option, I think they'd get a bit scared and worry about, like, no, that ruins everything. And in truth, yes, there are definitely some brands where if you already have perhaps quite a formal tone of voice and are maybe very, very corporate, and all of your social media accounts and any of your external communications are quite formal, if you threw a meme in there, you might get people wondering, what has happened? What's going on here? And I think it's important to remember that, like, stay, if even when an event like this happens and there are so many memes, which, as you said, we've really been appreciating all of them. I'm here for Ryan Gosling content every day. It would look odd. So despite, you know, the quality of the meme, and even if it's the best meme you've ever seen, it would be a little bit jarring if the rest of your entire strategy doesn't suit that type of content. There are some clients which, even though they're B2B, have a much more informal tone of voice. And if they haven't already posted memes, might be a little bit more kind of conversational in tone. And it wouldn't appear so out of place. In fact, it might fit quite nicely. I think you really have to judge it on, if somebody saw this, would they ask the question, you know, what's happened to the social media manager? Are they okay? Like, have they gone rogue? Or would it go, ah, that's good, you know, and I appreciate that that's funny. I do think that there are still going to be brands out there, especially in the B2B space, that would be quite, like, I think a high proportion would be a little bit wary of posting them. And one thing on, like, timeliness as well, and we should show a whole deep dive at some point into memes and, like, meme culture, because I love it, but how quickly you can post the memes. So when you've had an event like this, which is very, it's everywhere, right? Everyone is talking about it. There's been so much coverage. If you're going to reference it, use a meme or anything like that, I think you need to do it quite quickly. Otherwise, and this goes for B2B or B2C, you know, in the past, can't think of an example, but you can always tell when somebody has had to wait like 6 weeks or even longer for somebody higher up to approve the piece of content. And then it goes out and everyone's like, this was funny once upon a time, but the moment's gone. Like everyone's moved on to the next thing. That poor social media manager has been sat there trying to get somebody to sign off that piece of content, and it's just lost. It's lost all relevance at that point. So be wary of that. So if you're going to use it, if you're going to post, try to do it as quickly as you can while still obviously being relevant. Don't just like, you know, there needs to be a tie-in to whatever your kind of messaging is. But on the sort of meme culture side of things, sometimes they come back around and you never know. I wonder if any of them, like the memes that we've seen in the last couple of, I was going to say a couple of weeks, it literally happened a couple of days ago, if any of them will become like classics, you know, because there are a few memes that stick around and that you can essentially recycle in you know, time to come. So yeah, that's kind of the way I would look at it at the moment. What were your thoughts for the question?
I absolutely love the relevance piece because it's huge and something we talk about all the time. And also you talked about timeliness, and that goes back to another point that I wanted to highlight, which is the saturation piece. Exactly, it's a Goldilocks effect, don't get me wrong. So is this trend oversaturated? That will be the question that I would ask myself. As you say, when you are not literally jumping on it straight away, we've been relatively, I'm going to use the word lucky, or when it comes to one of the latest instances with the Academy Awards, that I kind of already knew that was happening, and it makes sense for us because of like the elements of pop culture that resonate with us. So I'm going to have a look at what's coming out. And we jumped on it before everybody else did. And then I saw the trickling of obviously social media posts about social media through the Academy Awards lenses. And I think that's another thing that we need to remember. There's two more points I want to make, but one thing that we need to remember is also the other point, the other flip situation from the B2B, is this relevant for your tone of voice? You know, should you do it? Don't do it too much. There's also something to be said about doing it too often, even if it fits with your tone of voice. Even if you're like, but I'm funny, I'm relevant, I'm all about. And that's my pet peeve, I guess, but great memes can be good, be fun, levity, but they shouldn't be your social media strategy. They can be part of it. But I think sometimes I see that becoming a bit of the issue where whenever there's something, there is a meme and it's all about the memes. And unless that's literally your account and that's what it is about, and the goal is just to make it something, you know, uber shareable and funny. But that will be my pet peeve, because sometimes I find that then I'm like, oh my God, I already know this person is going to jump on this trend no matter what. And that loses a bit of the spark to me. The other two more points, and I want to hear, oh, actually, yeah, I'm going to mention alignment very quickly. Even if you mentioned that, I just want to reiterate it. You might want to jump on that trend because everybody's posting about Ryan Gosling's performance. But going back to the tone of voice, also think about, do you actually have something you need to say about it? Like, what's the point of it? How are you going to spin it to make it yours? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
If we go even beyond some of the other things. And the final piece, which is where I want to hear your opinion. So to meme or not to meme, this is the question. Well, there's lots of things to think about. One is also, to me, connection. And we don't see that talked about enough, which is, how is your actual community responding to the trend? So if you are not literally jumping on it first, and you are taking a bit of time, or you don't realize and you just want to kind of hop on it a bit later on, look at actually how other people are taking the spin and how your followers or ideal clients are responding to some of these memes and these trends and how they're resonating with them. Because I think there's also something to remember about the cultural connotation of the meme itself, and the meme is taken from a specific moment. Is there any controversy around it? Is there, again, is it too oversaturated? Is it a bit tone deaf? Think about that connection piece as well. This will be the things that I would think about. What do you think, especially about that last one, that connection piece, that relevance, that fit? Because once again, I don't know if we talk about that enough.
No, I agree. I think it's definitely worth remembering when you're deciding whether to meme or not. And I think it's always a good sense check and make sure that. So typically, if you work in marketing, we'll probably, due to working with different clients across different industries, kind of have a fairly good idea of different events where these memes might originate from. What's important to remember is when you are working with somebody, and I'll use a B2B client as the example. Number one, you might not always be working with someone who, or the audience might not always have a good understanding of marketing. So putting my like work hat on here, sometimes if I went to a client and said, hey, I think it's a good idea to post a meme, I know this sounds bizarre, but might have to explain what a meme is to them. So there's that consideration as well, which is why some clients might get quite scared of it, because they don't understand if it might seem quite out there in their tone of voice and everything, which is why you've got to have that match, got to make sure that it's not going to appear like a very kind of oddball piece of content amongst all your other messaging, but also thinking about the audience that are ultimately going to see that piece of content. So will they know and have the awareness of the event, for example, that that meme has come from? And like you say, do a sense check. Was the event well received? Was there anything that might upset your audience? Because that could be also a factor for deciding whether to use it or whether to not. And I think you touched on a really good point there as well about, you know, what do you want from it? So if it's a simple kind of, I was going to say, you know, a way to boost engagement, then it might be good, but you've got to think about the different levels of engagement. So I would say one thing with all memes, and this goes across B2B, B2C, and even I would say it doesn't matter what channel you're using, memes are probably going to generate a bit of a laugh, right? So you might get likes, you might get reactions, maybe a few comments talking about, oh yeah, that was such a funny moment, or yeah, that's great, haha. But it's not that deep, valuable engagement that your strategy hopefully will be, that's what you're aiming for, right? You're looking to engage with the right people, you know, prompt really insightful, valuable conversation in the comments section. And a meme isn't going to do that. So necessarily, I mean, it's not impossible, but typically it's not going to do that. So I think that's where you've really got to sense check, is this right for your target audience? And also, we spoke about timeliness in the respect of how long ago was that kind of originating event, but also consider what else you're posting around that time. Yes, it will generate some engagement. Great. Will that have a negative impact on any of the surrounding messaging that you might already have kind of lined up for that day, that week, even that month? Check that there's no, clash between, like, here's a potentially quite a jolly meme that we've posted and here's a really serious piece of content. I think you need to make sure that it's all going to flow and nothing is going to kind of contradict each other before you go and post.
I love that, because it goes back to what I mentioned a bit cynically, but great memes are great, but they're not substitute for any kind of strategy, especially when it comes to marketing. And it kind of makes me think about something else that one of my clients literally shared today out of the blue. And it kind of ties into the next section, which is like what's hot in social. Talking a bit about what's hot in social. And I just want to start off already by stealing the spotlight to Rebecca, who's going to share what you found out over the past week about social media that we should definitely know about, giving the teacher's hat. Before that, I also want to say, talking about memes and strategies and things being fleeting, there has been talks about potentially banning TikTok again, given to some US laws and some other questions. And I think a lot of people started thinking again about, oh, I actually don't own my social media. What should I do next? Just sprinkling it in there. I don't know if it's part of the news you wanted to talk about today, but it definitely jumped out at me. And it reminds me that a great strategy, regardless of what it is, as a marketing strategy, includes marketing tools like social media and memes. But it's finding the Goldilocks effect of diversification and timelessness in a lot of different ways. So yeah, aside from TikTok potentially disappearing in a puff of smoke in the US, what's hot on social? What jumped out for you?
Well, two things. So I'll just pick up on the point that you just made there about TikTok and, you know, will it disappear? Will it not? Hope it doesn't. That's my opinion. Just need to get that out there straight away. But I would say it's, when we look back at Twitter and X, kids and everything that's happened in the last 12 to 18 months, that's a really good reminder, exactly as you said, about how you don't own your audience. There have been a couple of clients that I work with who in the last, I would say 6 months especially, have really started noticing the long-term impact of everything that's happened. So Twitter changing to X, the sort of premium features becoming more and more prominent and causing, you know, audiences are decreasing. It feels more difficult from the marketing side of things to get what you want out of X. And I've noticed, yeah, a lot of performance go down. And audiences just not engaging the way that they were before. And so the couple of clients I'm thinking of, a fair like proportion, we're talking probably 30-40% of their total social media audience was on Twitter. And some of them have adapted better than others. So I think that's just a really good reminder that I hope it doesn't. Like, I genuinely hope it doesn't because I love TikTok. But be considerate of where your audiences are on social, what platforms they're on, and make sure that you are doing other activity where you own that too. Because I know the clients who haven't adapted as well are now kind of scratching their heads going, oh, what do we do with all those people that we were engaging with on Twitter/X who have now left the platform, or, you know, aren't using it in the same way, or their posts are not being received in the same kind of way that it was a couple of years ago. Yes.
I did raise my hand. This is an old minion. So literally like in class, I raised my hand because I love what you mentioned there. And for the dear listener, before we jump on to the next things that you want to share with us, I want to just wrap up this point with a bow. If you're like, yeah, all right, I mean, that's maybe your clients on X and stuff, just want to say, Rival IQ actually shared that the post frequency on X was down 15% this year,
yeah,
while the frequency on Instagram and TikTok has increased. So even if just 15%, which I think is going to be our growing kind of percentage,
yeah,
we have seen posting frequency going down overall on the platform. So you give us a great example, and then definitely it's not isolated. I just wanted to add that before we move to the next step, just as a reminder.
No, it's so true. And this ties so nicely into the kind of thing that caught my eye this week, which was TikTok, which we love. And yeah, I really hope it doesn't go anywhere. But as you know, I typically work more on the B2B side of things. And it's kind of my mission this year to get some more of my B2B clients thinking about their TikTok strategy. Again, it's still a platform that some brands, especially more on the corporate side, can be a little bit scared of. They don't know what type of content to use. And I've been doing some research myself. But what caught my eye in particular is a couple of things. So TikTok are now doing a monthly trends digest, which I would really recommend you look at. They basically break down whatever the sort of key messaging is, any associated hashtags, the sounds being used, like visual trends as well within that, which is great no matter B2B, B2C, any industry. I would keep a close eye on that because there might be opportunities that you can kind of leverage for your own niche, take inspiration from, and also know, like, is this a trend that I should be tapping into? But the actual TikTok for Business EU account posted, and it was a trend in itself because it was the "of course I do" meme trend. But they were talking about the finance industry, which is just music to my ears because this is a place where I think there's a lot of opportunities. So if you are working in the finance industry and part of your strategy is thinking about how you can increase awareness of whatever your brand is and also have a direct, I suppose, conversation with your end consumer, there's a lot happening. So I think there was a statistic, and it was, I think it was a 200% increase in views. We'll double check that, which is crazy because before, if you used to type in, finance, there would be content, but it wasn't the most inspiring side of TikTok, if that makes sense. And if you landed on it, you probably would have gone, okay, which didn't, from my perspective, help fight my corner when I'm trying to convince clients that there's opportunity here. But the tide is changing. And I think this is a super reminder to especially marketers who are maybe leaning more to sort of the B2B side of things, is don't let TikTok pass you by. They are being very, very proactive in not only giving more transparency to marketers and creators, so you can, like I said, use it to your advantage no matter what industry, but also don't sleep on, you know, industries that might not have been as popular before. I do think, and this links a little bit to what we've mentioned on previous episodes and also what you've probably seen in the industry anyway, LinkedIn is a great example of how there is such a focus, I suppose, this year on people sort of becoming LinkedIn creators, how you talk to one another, the types of content you post on there. And it sounds obvious, right? But even from a B2B perspective, you're a human speaking to another human being. And I think we're seeing that in action on LinkedIn. I think I've literally seen with my own eyes, the same things start to happen on TikTok. And right now it feels like quite a novel idea, but especially now TikTok themselves have highlighted, look, this is the impact. There is huge growth in this industry, huge engagement. Like if we were to sit here in 12 months, I think we'd go, yeah, that's totally normal now. Like we can't remember what it was like before this became a thing. So that was something that caught my eye, because previously it's been very much, if you're either a creator or if you are perhaps trying to sell a product. I think this is going to be the opening of it becoming much more normal, if you like, or commonplace to see brands who are trying to sell a service of some kind using TikTok as one of their main channels. Go TikTok. Yeah.
They're like, go TikTok. Mic drop. Walk out. So I'm actually going to ring you back in then. Like, she's not lying. She's going out. I'm stopping her. I'll be like, no, come back. What would you say then, based on what you said, which I absolutely love, would be the first place to start for some of these brands? Like, if they're actually, you know, we said those people on TikTok, we talked about, you know, like looking at like different collateral industries, I love all of that. But what would you say to these brands? It's like, okay, I need to get started, or what do I do?
Get on TikTok. That sounds so like basic, but that's one of the problems I see is the fear. People still have the fear of it, especially when they're coming from an industry that perhaps hasn't seen as much coverage before. So I'd say get on the platform, have a look and spend a little bit of time. You don't necessarily need to post like rush out content. Take some time to see what's out there. Use this monthly digest as well to keep an eye on the different hashtags. Also, can I throw something else in there? Did you see a couple of weeks ago, now if you go in, there's a place on TikTok, just going to look at it right now. I think if you go to the business center, you can now use TikTok's AI, basically ask it about whatever niche you have, and it will tell you all of the, like it will pull out some key trending videos and some hashtags. So spend your time kind of embedding yourself within your niche on the platform. Take note of the type of content. So are people talking like face-to-face? Is there day in the life videos I've seen work quite well? Maybe like tours around the building, almost like verging into like more vlog style content, and figure out what you ultimately want to be telling your audience. What does that person look like on TikTok? What types of content are they consuming, and how can you adapt your messaging to fit that sort of style? That would be sort of the big one to start with. And then, like I say, try to be as strategic as possible. So I think there's a fine line with TikTok. On the one hand, you need to be ready to adapt because trends do come about very quickly. And there's so much opportunity within that with, you know, trending sounds, different ways to kind of shoot different videos. But, you know, just try to be conscious of, again, what's your messaging? What's the underlying purpose of each piece of content? Try not to fall into the trap of, I must have a TikTok account, therefore I've got to post 3 times a day and just churn out content for the sake of it. If you do that, you probably won't see many returns, and that will almost convince you that, maybe this isn't the right place to do to, you know, produce content, but it can work. Just need to be as strategic as you possibly can with it.
Really important that the strategic piece, I'm going to reiterate that. We had a fantastic workshop with the amazing Penny Walker. Shout out to Penny. For our students in the student community, which our students loved. So I know it's good. 30 minutes, lots of insights, and a couple of students blamed us to get them inspired to start a TikTok. So I'm quite happy with that. I'll take that blame, shared with Penny as well. And a big part of all the things that she shared obviously came from what is happening and what is changing and the fact that the platform is shifting a bit. And there are some things that are changing in the way that they are, but also that piece of strategy and understanding some of the things that generally work and don't based on how you want to show up, I think is crucial. So I absolutely love that. Thank you. And some good resources as well for the listeners to check out, which is always a bonus. I want to finish off with the head teacher corner, which is my corner. It's cozy, everybody. Yes, we're trying new things, I mentioned, so don't be shocked. If you don't remember this being a thing, it's because I'm trying things, as I always am, as you will know if you've been around for long enough. But I wanted to talk about, very briefly, this time is something that I have learned. So Teacher Corner, great teachers learn, I find, and also embrace being beginners. And I was a beginner last week at time of recording by joining and going to the Women in Tech SEO Festival. And no, I'm not an SEO expert, which means some of the things I had to Google myself afterwards because I didn't know what the integration of PPC and SEO was, or some of the technical fixes in Performance Masters. I had no idea what that was, but I decided to jump in and learn new things. And first of all, before I talk about some of the things that I really loved learning, I want to do a huge shout out to the whole team as well and Arish as well for the amazing work at that conference. It's important, and I know it sounds weird, but I think we forget about the power of actually intentional learning. And obviously I'm biased. I run a school, so we like to teach. And we like to, you know, to get our students to learn. And I think it's just honing that as who we are. And that's why I needed to get into a place, into a space where the team created a great place for people that wanted, women that wanted to learn about SEO to come together in a safe space and really learning. There was a clear intent, as well as the connection and the networking. So hats off to the team. It was a great event anyway, so I just wanted to mention it. Make sure that I actually put the link so that if you want to join next year, potentially myself too. Who knows? You can. There are plenty of events all over the world as well. So it's not just London where I went. There were a couple of things that I absolutely loved that I want to share though, sharing my learnings. One of my favorites was, there was actually a conversation about bias in AI and why starting with bias in AI could be actually a great solution to understanding how to use AI from Joanne Boyce. And it was an amazing chat because I think you really highlighted some of the things that we still don't know or don't dive deep into enough when it comes to the AI conversation. It wasn't really about SEO specifically, but it was all about actually then if we do use AI as a tool to support some of the work that we do, then it's something that we need to bear in mind. That was absolutely, I love that because it was a bit left field, but it was more in line with what I did. It was all about inclusive marketing, so less about maybe meta tags and things like that. I also love the fact that there was two more bits of focus, one about SEO for improved accessibility, and it was very much on the technical side, but there were also things that I think were more applicable to beginners. It really reinforced the importance of thinking about SEO as the user experience first, which is what we teach about everything we do, right? But also understanding that there are different layers of things that can be done to really understand all the ways that potentially you're not facilitating a great website experience for your audience. And I think even just understanding and then embracing asking for help can be really, really important. You don't have to do it all yourself. I think that was a big thing. I realized that for me was something that wasn't my expertise, but if I wanted to then kind of bring somebody on, I would know some of the things that I want to look for or look for improvements around. And there was also a super interesting chat that I also want to mention. So this was Billy, Gina, and Hyde about technical SEO. And then the other one I wanted to mention was from Verusca and Conitano, fellow Italian, hello. And it was about user-centric search experiences. And what it was talking about was the intersection of language and culture with the way that we look at things online. And I think especially if we do use AI a bit more as a companion also to get answers to questions and basically converges, I think it will converge a lot with the SEO conversation. This is a bit more advanced, but it talked about, you know, the way that we say things because of language and the way that we assume that if we say something in a specific way, we use a term or we talk about a specific thing, SEO and search engine and Google and all the likes will know what we're talking about, but it might be very deeply cultural. And again, being an Italian living in the UK, I've seen both sides of some things that would not make sense one way or the other. So overall, it was super interesting because he really talked about some of the things that I'm passionate about, like the accessible, the inclusive side of things. He didn't shy away from talking about some of the things that are changing and shifting. So there was other talks as well, but these jumped out a lot. And also it goes a bit deeper into the user experience of SEO. So these are some of my thoughts, and I really, really enjoyed this event. And I know that you also went to, I believe you went a couple of, maybe last year even, or to Brighton SEO. You even spoke at one of these conferences, didn't you?
I did. Brighton SEO, many a time. Yeah, I've done a couple. I did a couple about TikTok. Who would have thought? And my most recent one was about thought leadership on LinkedIn, which is very apt at the moment. Thinking about how you can kind of lean into how you are as a person and the type of content that you want to share. I think I've been doing some more research recently, which ties into looking at whatever you feel most comfortable with. So I feel like there was a phase where it was like video, video, video. We've got to be on video all the time. Video performs great, but it is not the only way to succeed on LinkedIn as a thought leader. So I've been doing a lot of exploring on that recently too.
I love that actually when you talked about the different talks that you did, like they were not really about SEO necessarily per se. And I think that's another thing, which is true, but and that's not necessarily your expertise, just like nor is mine. But I think what's interesting is that some of the other talks talked about understanding how SEO is part of marketing and some of the marketing, and they all reflect together. And I think sometimes there can be such a divide between the different areas of marketing and the things we want to learn or the things we want to know. And it doesn't mean you have to become an SEO expert, but even in our SEO masterclass and the training that Lena also runs for the masterclass, is about understanding SEO and understanding how people use it and how you can use it. And then you can go deeper into that if you want to. We give you the tools to do that if you wanted to. But also if you just want to have an understanding for yourself, just to understand how it works with social and how it works with the website itself and with the content, then you already are, in my opinion, above the average level of knowledge that a lot of people would have. And so because of that, sometimes you have to push yourself. If you are in SEO, to actually look at other areas of marketing that are very interconnected with where you are because they give you that edge. So I can see that it's not about talking about one topic, is exploring others that are really relevant, like TikTok or like thought leadership on LinkedIn, right?
100%. And what I would add to that as well is more and more you can take SEO sort of fundamentals, I suppose, and apply them to particularly TikTok content. You might have seen a lot of chatter around TikTok SEO and TikTok search. So it's hard to say. It's not like only just happened. It's been in the background, if you like. But certainly if you are running a TikTok account, have a look at your analytics and see if there is a portion of your viewership coming from TikTok search. The analytics vary. So sometimes it will just say, you know, I don't know, 10% from search. Sometimes it will give you a breakdown further into what keywords have happened, how many keywords have brought those people into search, number of impressions, the engagement rate, click-through rate, that kind of thing as well, which is great. So if you've already got some understanding of SEO and how that works kind of traditionally, you can take that learning and start applying it to, I suppose, optimizing your content for social as well, which is great. Again, I think a trending theme of this episode has been, you know, being strategic. So just being considerate of like, what messaging are you using? What is helping to bring in your audience? Particularly if you're thinking, say you've got a piece of content, I'll use TikTok again as the example, that has got, you know, more engagement than usual. Tapping in and seeing like, okay, what terms, what can I identify that's helped me succeed and have this higher level of engagement? Because with this new insight, I suppose, hopefully you can build on that and create more content of the same realm that in theory, might generate the same or if not better engagement as well with the right people. That's the key, I think.
I love that. And tying it all together. Again, yeah. Like strategic. I think strategy also means understanding on how to tie things together and kind of how to make them work together and what to use when. So, and how to use the different tools that we have. So I absolutely love that. Becca, thank you so much again for being with us today.
Welcome. I loved it. As normal, I loved it.
Don't pay to say that. And if you want to come and say hi to you and get your book, where should I go?
You can find me everywhere at Becca Social. I'm on TikTok and LinkedIn the most. If it's Twitter or X, don't bother. Don't bother.
No, you're part of that 50% being down. That is literally only Becca. I'm not posting anymore. That's what happens. That's where the stat plummeted.
I'm like, bye.
And then everything died because of that. I know. Yeah, true. Awesome. And also don't forget to check out Socialize, Becca's book, which you can also find in the show notes.
Yay. Thank you.
Team, as always, first of all, go and also check out all the good things SEO, including the conference that I talked about. And why not? Go and check out our student community because our SEO masterclass just landed this month. So go and check it out. And after you do that, or in between all the bits, don't forget to be kind to yourself and all the other squirrel friends in the magical meme land. And remember, true marketing speaks to hearts, not just mind. And until next time, once again, plan is dismissed.